Hi, I'm Alyssa.
Hi, I'm Jenna, and welcome to Sincerely Your Best Friends,
a podcast about life and advice for people who don't seem to have a best friend or miles and miles away from theirs like we are. We're here to help you and have a good time while we do it.
All right, let's chat. Well, welcome back to episode number 5. Well, we're getting there. We are getting there.
Chipping away.
This episode, we aren't doing the sex episode. We're going to keep you waiting. I got a lot of feedback from the family. Let me know when that episode comes out so I don't listen to it.
I know. I got I got messages. Is this one okay for me to listen to?
Oh, so funny.
It's okay.
This episode is all about like an adult survival guide and what to expect when you kind of enter the next chapter of your life and after like college and getting a job, like what the heck are you supposed to do?
Yeah, kind of just providing our best tips. And I feel like this is gonna, the whole survival guide part of it really hits home with our generation. Like, it's like Ned's Declassified.
Oh, I miss that show.
For adults, like, it's, I really wish they would come out with like an adult version of it. Like, I didn't need any of that in high school.
No. Ned.
Yeah.
Coconut Head.
So, yeah, we have quite a bit of tips we're going to chip through. And these are obviously tips we've found helpful.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a shit ton more.
Yeah.
But we're just two people, have our own stories, and this is what we've run into. So, do you have anything
else? majestic stories, I will say.
Majestic. So, I think, like, the first thing you're slapped in the face with when you enter the real world is finances. You have this pressure because your student loans, if you went to college, those bitches kick in.
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
6 months after you graduate, which sounds far enough until you move and get settled and you're like, okay, now it's 3 months away. I really gotta get to it. I think the biggest thing I learned after I got like really like stabilized from my first situation was fell into like a financial comfortability where I would like have my bills paid. That's fine. But then I would like not want to do anything, or I'd like be worried about saving, which is good. But it was like, I didn't want to like go on vacations. I didn't want to like be spending money on that stuff because I had experienced not having that extra money. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a hoarding situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I wanted to hoard my money. Hoard my money. It was a horrid situation.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I wanted to hang on to it. But, like, I think you have to find a balance. You have to get stable, but don't let that rob you of experiences.
Yeah. And like, I'm running into that right now is like trying to figure out, because now I'm making more money than I was making, and I get paid every week. So it's hard because money's coming in every Friday.
Yeah.
And that like, oh, I got like all this money, but it's like, no, you don't. Like,
because
I'm used to like a big chunk of my paycheck, you know, like when you get it like every other week. But I don't know, it definitely helped with my stress level. Like, I hated getting paid every other week because when I wasn't making like a lot of money that like I'm like barely getting by or whatever.
Yeah, that I actually ran into that too, like getting paid every other week, but getting paid a lower amount.
Mm-hmm.
I was stressing constantly because I'd be like, well, I can't do this now because I had to pay my bills like this week. And I'm sure it comes down to like a budgeting thing. But when you like, I wasn't getting paid a wage that gave me enough wiggle room to really budget. Like,
yeah,
a lot of it was allocated to bills and mm-hmm. student loans and stuff. So I'd be like, no, I can't really go get drinks because I don't get paid till next Friday. And I hated having that. Now I get paid. It's semi-monthly. So I get paid on the 15th of the month, and then I get paid on the 30th or 31st of the month. Yeah. So, but it's the same like monthly pay. It's just broken up into two paychecks. So I guess it'd be the same as getting paid bi-weekly.
That's interesting.
But I actually like it because it's like more money in one paycheck.
Yeah.
So it actually carries me over like and through a lot easier.
That's good.
So I think that helps a lot with the stress. But yeah, finances will slap you in the face when you get out in the real world by yourself, especially if you're in a situation like we were where you're like really struggling to mm-hmm. even do your bills.
Eat your peanut butter and jelly. Like, I think... I feel like there's a big misconception, like, when you, like, get your first job, like, out of college or whatever, is, like, you're going to be making all this money and, like, because you see everybody else, like, going on all these trips and, like, but I'll tell you firsthand, you are not making, unless you, like, I don't even say if you got, like, an insanely good job, that you're going to be struggling.
Like, yeah.
Your 20s are for your struggle of money. It's not until your 30s when I feel like you're going to be making, or late 20s, early 30s is when you're really going to be making, like, and you can live, you know?
Right.
Like, take vacations and stuff.
Which, like, I'm kind of grateful it worked out that way. Like, I wouldn't have wanted, I, like, needed the struggle before.
Yeah.
I was making, like, I needed to experience that struggle because I value so many more things now because
mm-hmm.
I feel like I've only been here for 4 years, but like the financial growth and understanding I've gotten in that 4 years is like stuff that'll last me a lifetime. Like I went from really stressed and financially unstable to being financially stable but not really living.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of snapping out of the mentality where I'm like, okay, I need to be more I'm like a spontaneous person. So mm-hmm. I need to like really cater to that and like have some spontaneous weekend trips, but also know that I'm comfortable and have other things taken care of. I think it's very easy to fall into like you're comfortable and you don't want to like, you don't contribute to do anything. Like you don't live. And that's something that's always, like, hanging over my head. I'm like, well, like, what quality of life do you have if you're just, like, saving all this money, but you're sitting around doing nothing?
Yeah. Like, what are you saving for? You're not – like, obviously, you should have an emergency fund that, you need to build up. But, like, you got to have those little things that you're going to be saving for to kind of, like, push the momentum and, like, you know what I mean? And make it, like, seem like you're actually, like, living your life.
Yeah, it's like you should totally be building a savings along the way. Like every paycheck, definitely designate like a certain amount to store away. But also like go on the girls trip. Like mm-hmm. go and take a weekend road trip somewhere. Go back home. Like do things that nurture your soul. Take a cooking class. Like contribute your money to things that are in the long run going to be good, but also like things that are going to feed your soul along mm-hmm. the way.
And money is such like a touchy topic,
mm-hmm.
touchy subject. And I know a lot of my stress comes because of money mm-hmm. and I'm like really trying to like work on that. Because there really isn't a stress needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I read this or I heard this podcast or I was reading a book. I don't remember where it came from, but it was talking about student loans and rightfully so, they're stressful for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the lady interviewing, she's like, if you can make the payments, she said, just don't even like set it on auto pay and just like, don't even think about it. Like I, of course, if student loans are forgiven, I'm going to be like, blessed. Mm-hmm. But I'm just sort of at the point where I'm like, I don't even think about when they're going to end. Like, it's not a daunting thing. Yeah. That's something I had to like remove. I was like, as long as I'm paying them, it's fine. But I can't think about how many more years I have to pay them and stuff. Like, that's just so stressful to me. So I kind of had to lose that and just reach the conclusion myself. Like, I'm paying them. It's fine. I'll pay them until I get a notification that says you're done paying them.
It's going to take a couple years for that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take a long time.
Student loans are just nuts.
It's just insane.
I guess following along with the stress topic is learning how to control your stress, because you can get very overwhelmed very fast, and learning how to decompress and like figure out what really matters and what you are stressing about that doesn't matter or isn't a big deal. I think you really need to find that balance and figure that out, because that's going to help tremendously with your mood, your confidence, everything, your day.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I would be really stressed, I figured out really quickly, like, walks help me so much. Like, just getting outside and walking for however long and talking with Tom, and like, just kind of like forgetting about the world for a little bit, but being out in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's super helpful. But yeah, you got to figure out your like stress and coping mechanisms, and you got to figure out which ones are unhealthy that you have to try and break down. I realized that I was very much of a bottler, like with stress and emotions, and that's just not healthy at all to hang on to. So I just became really big into like, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed and stressed right now at this moment. I need to step away 15 minutes, go take a walk, go fill my water bottle, like just take it away, or else it ends up coming out misdirected at something. Mm-hmm. So you have to like learn how you handle stress and learn how you handle your emotions. I'd say that's probably like right up there with figuring out how you work financially.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if this necessarily goes into the category of stress, but like not letting little parts of your day like get you mad or like stress you out. Like, if someone pulled out in front of you, you can get mad for a second, but don't dwell on that. Like, I have really started to like try and not be so negative. Like, when somebody like does that to me, like pulls out in front of me or whatever, like, yeah, I'm mad for a second, but don't dwell on it. Don't let it ruin like your drive to work,
or set off your whole day.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are like that. I know there's people I've run into who they have one bad thing happen and then they just sort of like cherry pick the whole day of bad things happening. So like they would get cut off in the morning, they'd come in, they'd be pissed off, and then they'd stub their toe or their food would taste weird, and then they would just get gradually more pissed. And then I'm like, but if you really look at the things happening to you, you're applying that magnitude of seriousness to it. I stub my toe literally 20 times a day. Pisses me off every time, but I walk it off.
Walk it off.
Are there times my food, like I might get it delivered or something and it's bad? Yeah, but like there's just things you just gotta learn to just like let it be. Things happen.
Let it be. Like, you just can't. You're right. Like, people, even like sometimes I do this, like I like one thing goes wrong and then I'm like, well, F. And then this thing goes wrong. And I'm like, gosh, like, why today? And it's usually on a Monday or whatever. And it's just, but you gotta try and figure out how to move that energy more positive and have more of a positive outlook on certain situations.
Yeah, I always, as the years have gone on, I gradually hear my dad more and more and more in my ear. It used to piss me off when I was in high school, and he'd be like, I don't know why you stress out about so much. don't stress about the stuff you can't control. And I'm like, well, I can't control anything. So, like, that alone stresses me out. But as the years have gone on, I just hear it more and I'm like, he's so right. So it's like something minor will happen that is totally out of my control. And I'll be like, don't stress about it. There's nothing I could have done to change it.
Like, I know being in a routine helps me, like, a lot with, like, my stress. Like, I've been working on, like, discipline. Like, because you lose motivation.
Oh, but so quickly.
Discipline is what keeps you going. And, like, I know that I like to go to the gym in the mornings because it gets my day started. Gives me a positive outlook on the day, like it boosts my serotonin, whatever. And sometimes, like, my alarm goes off at like 4:30 and I'm laying there and I'm like, gosh, like, I really don't want to get up, or I'm like thinking of all these excuses, and like, and I just know, I'm like, if you don't go to the gym in the morning, like this morning, you're going to be set back for the rest of the day. It's going to put you in a bad mood because you already didn't accomplish this one task that you set for yourself.
Right. You're and gonna then, be hard on yourself the whole day.
And maybe you get there late, but at least you got there for at least like a half an hour, you know?
Yeah.
But as long as you're there, it just, you never have like a, if you have a goal for yourself or a task that you want to complete, and the feelings that you get if you don't complete that task are worse than when you complete it, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes. So, like, if you miss going to – if you don't go to the gym, you feel way worse about yourself than how you feel after the gym. That makes total sense.
Yeah. And, like, all the time that it's taken me to dwell in the bed on – like, this happened one day. Like, I tried to talk myself out of the gym. And then it got to the point where it was too late to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Because I procrastinated that I was pissed off for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So I think, like, sticking to discipline helps with stress and a routine, getting in a routine every day. I mean, this could just be me because I'm a very routine person, but.
I mean, it's most humans are. We all have, like, some sort of routine. Whether it's a healthy routine or not, we all have some sort of routine that we follow.
Like, that's why I think when I, like, go on vacation, not vacation necessarily, but, like, when I go home, I'm, like, so out of my routine that I'm, like, pissed. And I, like, want to get back so bad to, like, get myself back into that groove.
I have found – I'm the same way, but I found – a lot of times because how, like, unhealthy my, like, stress and coping mechanisms were, I find that when I go on vacations or go home and stuff, I, like, wake up and I'm, like, almost, like, okay, so what are we gonna do today? Because I am out of my routine. But then I'm, like, okay, just, like, embrace the fact that you're out of your routine. Like, you're in a situation that's giving you a break. Like, you don't have to take the dogs out because you're on vacation and they're back home. Like, you're, like, embrace that. Like, so I've kind of embraced situations that allow me to naturally relax or kind of snap out of whatever I'm used to.
That's good.
But it's hard, for sure. I, like, every morning I wake up, usually to Cosmo, like, slapping me in the head. And then I grab, like, outside clothes. Like, I'm in my pajamas, so I have to take the dogs out. And then I go pee. And then the dogs, like, are in the routine. They come in the bathroom with me, and they sit on both sides of the toilet. And we have, like, a little morning pee conference. And I pet both their heads. And I'm like, okay.
Pee conference.
Then I go out, and I leash them up, and then I wait for Tom to get out of bed, and he comes out. And Tom doesn't have very much of a routine in the morning. So by the time I'm at that point, I'm like, man, like, is he going to get up? And
come on, Tom.
We go outside, and then we make coffee. So I'm very routine, too. Very habitual.
And I think it, like, it sets your day up. Like, have you ever heard, like, always make your bed in the morning? Because, like, you will – if you set that for yourself, that you're going to make your bed every morning, and you've already completed that one task, mm-hmm. it sets you up for, like, a positive day or something.
Yeah, that is, like, that's a tip that I take and apply to other things, but I never make my bed in the morning.
Really?
I will make it, like, in the middle of the day. Like, I'll come back in here and step away from my computer, come make it. Rarely. But usually, like, it used to drive me crazy when my mom would be like, we have people coming over. You need to make your bed. And I'm like, Mom, no one goes upstairs. And no one's going to come sprinting in here and go look at my bed and be like, oh, Alyssa, you f***ed up.
You didn't make your bed.
I used to be like, Mom, I'm just going to crawl right back into it. So that is one thing I cannot snap out of. But I apply it to other things. Like, I always, like, open the blinds in the morning and let some sunlight in. And
gotta love the natural light.
Yeah. But I think it's important, too, like, all these steps we're giving you, like, you're going to have to find out in your own time.
Yeah.
Because they're all, like, such big character building things. Like, to understand your stress level, you have to be in situations that are making you really stressed. Mm-hmm. So, same with routines. Like, you got to find one that works for you. So, it's all, like, trial and error.
Yeah. That's, like, another one I set for myself is I hate the dishes.
Oh.
I hate doing the dishes. I was actually talking to somebody at work. He used to work in, like, an architecture firm or something. And I don't know if he was building a house for this guy. And the guy wanted two dishwashers. So you could have one clean and one dirty. So you just grab the clean shit out. And then obviously when it's dirty, you put it in the dirty one. I was like, that is a lazy genius.
It really is. Because, like, part of me thinks, like, okay, are his cabinets, like, basically
empty? That's what I was thinking, too.
But then it's, like, also if he gets off cycle,
yeah,
then he has two dirty dishwashers.
Yeah. And, yeah, like, right now, I freaking hate doing the dishes. And I was like, go to the bed with, like, a clean kitchen. Mm-hmm. Go to bed with a clean kitchen. Do your effing dishes. And right now, so I meal prepped yesterday because I didn't want to have to do it today.
Yeah.
And so I ran the dishwasher because it was kind of full while I was cooking. So now they're clean dishes. But now I kind of got some dirty dishes in the sink that are, like, piled up. And it's really stressing me out.
Yeah. I hate dishes. I have hated it since it was my chore at my – like – having to do the dishes for a family of five.
Oh, gosh.
Is, like, so irritating. It makes my blood boil thinking about it. And I remember telling my mom, I said, as soon as I get a job at Wegmans, I'm not touching another dish in this house. Like, I'm leaving my chores behind.
I think mom, like, hated dishes in the sink, and I would always leave my dish in the sink. And then she'd come home from work, whose dishes are in the sink? And I'm like, ah!
I love your, like, your impression of your mom, because it sounds nothing like her.
I know. She's a sweet, sweet lady, and I make her sound
like a
crackhead.
No, you don't. Mama Kaz is the bomb.
She's actually, I called her today. And I was like, do you have stuff to, like, make sauce? And she's like, yeah, I do. And I was like, is that what you want? And I was like, it's either that or sushi. She's like, let's do sauce. So
aww.
Going over there for some din. I'm excited.
That's so nice. I miss, like, having home-cooked meals. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say is I hate the dishes so much, and that has carried over into my adult life, that – this is the best part about being married to someone is Tom. I hate the laundry, too.
I love the laundry.
I love washing and drying and folding, but the putting away would always hang me up.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom and I found a middle ground, and my chore is the laundry for us, and his chore is the dishes.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I was like, I will pick laundry any day over the dishes. So we have, it works so perfectly.
That's nice. What would I choose in that situation? I think I'd have to go with laundry because I'm so particular about my closet and the way I fold my clothes and how I wash my clothes. That dishes all the hell to you.
Yeah.
Do you run your dishwasher all the time? I run it like almost like every other day.
I think Tom runs it mostly like overnight. So he'll like load it before we go to bed and then wake up with clean ones and then he'll empty it while he's drinking his coffee.
Oh, what a guy.
He's got such a good system. I'm like, God bless you, because nope. When I was living alone, I would just like, I was very on top of it because I hated like the sink. But like now that there's two of us and like the cooking and sometimes like our eating like meals aren't on the same cycle and it's just like it piles up so fast. I would rather just contribute to the problem than help it now.
That's like, because I do like my meal prepping. So like breakfast, I have a container. Lunch, I have a container. Dinner, I have a container. And like after breakfast and lunch and I get home from work, there's like 30 Rubbermaid container things in the sink. So do you think I say theory, but do you think it's true that we're getting very off topic, but whatever, that running your dishwasher saves water than hand washing dishes?
Probably, because there's a designated amount that goes into the dishwasher, but like
that's true.
When you do your dishes, whether you're a sink filler or just a sink runner, you're probably using way more water doing that than what is measured and designated for the dishwasher.
That makes sense. Yeah, I just throw everything in the freaking dishwasher. It says dishwasher, not dishwasher safe. I'm like, fuck it. Throw it in there. We'll see what happens.
We're going to find out. Like, we're going to find out just exactly how not dishwasher safe it is. Yeah, no, nothing non-dishwasher safe can enter this house.
Yeah, absolutely not. Although, like, so when I moved here, I raided Nani Kaz's basement because she's got so many freaking trinkets and shit. And so much and she had a bag of silverware, so I went over with Aunt Rose and I got Aunt Rose is like, you need this, you need this, and you need this, and I'm like, hell yeah, throw it in the bag. I only ended up with 4 forks. So now that's another excuse of I just need to go buy more forks. But
yeah, but it's hard too because I don't even know. Well, I guess Target does sell like just a box or bag of forks and stuff.
I need to go to
I feel like you IKEA. Get like a whole silverware set.
I should.
Yeah.
She's got all like the fancy like twirly thing on her knives. Some of them are tarnishing a little bit.
There's two types of people. There's the people that have like the twirly stuff or even just the basic ones. And then there's the people who have like the big plastic. You know what I'm talking about? Big plastic, like, handles on the forks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't like those. I feel like a kid.
I feel like there's two types of people. Mm-hmm. There's people who have those, and there's people who have the regular ones.
Mm-hmm. And Mom's like, you can just take some of my forks. But I'm like, I want everything to match.
Yeah.
It's like, I just need to go buy more forks. But I think finding the little things that stress you out that you can control and figuring out how to remove that stress, what can you do in your day-to-day that will help not contribute to that stress? That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the biggest tip.
And like that was a big thing for me too. Like when we got Cosmo, I realized like, I am not patient. I am not patient, and I get stressed and frazzled really fast. So, like, that's not something I would have been able to pick up on without having, like, a puppy. Like, even Cooper was a little more, like, trained and everything by the time I had him. So it wasn't as noticeable. But I'm grateful because I'm like, I know that I need to work on my patience before we have children. Because that patience goes out the window.
Yeah.
Like, impatience goes out the window when you have kids.
Yeah. I guess that You bring up a good point, because, like, when I got Lola, she was kind of old. I mean, I want to say she was, like, 6 months old. Like, she wasn't a kitten. And I get Lenny, and Lenny is a freaking crackhead.
Yeah.
And she aggravates the shit out of me. Like, these lights on my wall, she'll just sit there and hit them. And then they bang against the wall, and she just does it to piss me off. Because I know.
Yeah.
She knows. They know that you know.
Yeah.
That they are, whatever they're doing is pissing you off.
Yeah. So, but again, yeah, you're not going to know unless you put yourself in those situations. You're not going to figure that stuff out about yourself. But that's also brings me to another point I think we both had. Like, I think it's very important to find your girlfriends. Like,
we talked.
Like, there's probably been 3 stories in this episode that have nothing to do with the topics. But, like, it's important to have, like, those people that you can just get carried away and really lose track of things with.
Alyssa, great segue. I love it. That was a great segue. Oh, gosh. But, yeah, like, girlfriends, like... Especially, like, moving away, you don't have, like, your girlfriends. Like, girlfriends that you can, like, see every day, you know?
Right.
So I think, especially, like, when you move to a new spot, you may not have, like, a best friend like you and I, you know?
Right.
But even just having people you can get drinks with and people that, like, you can laugh with and it's, like, stress-free and, like... You guys get carried away in conversation. You have a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, those people are very important in your life. Especially when you move away from your family.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when you go to college. Like, making friends is so hard. But if you don't make friends in college, you're kind of, like, alone.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, they're your support system, basically.
Yeah, like, you're not only seeking out other people to, like, remove yourself from stressful things and, like, have good laughs with, like, those are people that are gonna change how you are, who you are as a person, because you mold into who you surround yourself by, but also, like, they become your support system. Anything happens, like, they're the people that you're gonna, like, share that with in person and you're gonna go to. Like, I don't have a lot of girlfriends here. We've been through this, but like, there's, like, a lot of friends from back home that, like, you and Danny and Megan and Carissa, like, I'll text if I need advice and stuff. Like, it's just very important to, like, find your core people and really, like, cater to that relationship.
Yeah. Finding the core people is, like, essential. Like, I'm just starting to, like, build that core. Like, I have a few core friends now down in Raleigh. And it's really helped, like, a lot with being alone and, like, everything like that. They just make your days better. Like, if you just text and just shoot the shit or get advice, like, it's always nice to have somebody there. Or if you're having a bad day, like, do you want to go grab an ice cream? Like... Or something. Right. Want to go to Target. Target's also on the list.
Yes. You gotta do it.
But
yeah, it's very important to find your core friends. And it takes time. Like I said, like, I've been here for 4 years. I have a couple, like, handful really good friends, but I don't have, like, my core that's around me all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not there quite yet, but that's all part of life. It's just, and you find new people in every new situation that you're in. So,
and it's going to be like a trial and error. I know we've already gone through this, like, making friends, but trial and error, you know, you got to see them in all different, I don't want to say aspects, but
I was just thinking that too.
You got to, like, go shopping together. And if you don't like the way they shop, like,
then you take that off the list.
Yeah, like, not going to ask this person to go shopping. Like, go to dinner, go to drinks, go to brunch, go to Target, or just run errands, or go tanning, or, like, do whatever. Like, find someone to do those things with.
Yeah.
Like Carly, we just actually became, I know I've said this before, like close friends. Mm-hmm. But we'll literally like, hey, I'm like going tanning. Like, do you want to come? And I'll like go pick her up. And
yeah,
that's like a half an hour spent together. That's fun. And we right. can shoot the shit and like have good conversation. So people like that, like you gotta find.
Yeah. People that, make it easy to step outside of your routine.
Yeah.
And your day, whatever is happening, you can step into that, like their presence, and you know, you can either talk about it and come out of it feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about it and they're going to give you advice that you might not want to hear, but that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Or you can just be present in that moment and mm-hmm. step away from whatever's stressing you out if you're not ready to talk about it.
Yeah. That's like another thing is like advice.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, you give the best advice.
Oh.
But you give advice when I ask for advice.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're not here telling me, like, you shouldn't do this, Jenna. You shouldn't do this, Jenna.
Right.
And Carly and I were talking about that because we went through, like, a similar situation with our Larrys.
Mm-hmm.
So, side note, Aunt Jessie yeah. was like... Yeah.
Who's Larry?
She's like, oh, my God. She just said their name out in on the podcast. And then she's like, oh, she just uses that as, like, a...
Like a blanket term, basically. Yeah.
So Larry is a blanket term. Yeah,
there's no actual Larry.
No, it came from our friends Malik and Jordan. Mm-hmm. Anything can be a Larry.
Yeah.
Like, your hair can be a Larry. Like, I got this, like, this Larry sticking up. Or, like, I should have named Lenny Larry. That would have been funny. But, yeah, so we were in this situation with these two Larrys. And, like, we kind of, it was weird how they kind of, we kind of went through a little bit of the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sometimes she was just venting to me. And I was like, I trying to give you advice, but I can't really give you advice because I don't take my own advice. And it's obviously not working for myself. But she's like, it's okay. Like, I just want to vent to you.
Yeah.
And, like, because you're going through the same thing
mm-hmm.
that I can talk to you about this. And when I want advice, I'm going to ask for advice. And I know you're not going to give me advice.
Unsolicited.
When I don't want to hear it, because it's obviously I'm not going to listen to it. And it's just going to make me more angry.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's like something you have to learn as a friend. Don't mm-hmm. give unsolicited advice. You don't want to give advice where it's not welcomed. My dad has always taught me, when someone is talking to you, no matter what it's about, listen to actually hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to respond. So people who give unsolicited advice hear, like, their friend or whatever start talking about a situation. They're like, what can I throw back at them? What advice mm-hmm. can I give them immediately? Instead of listening to what the person's actually saying. A lot of times people just want to be heard, and that's all you have to do. You just have to provide ears
mm-hmm.
and just be the support. That's all. That's all that's required.
Listening is a huge thing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I think as an adult, you need to learn to listen, and you need to learn when you're not being listened to.
Yeah. And that goes into like work, like still being new, and definitely new in the industry, that like in the meetings, I'm like silent, but I'm taking in everything mm-hmm. because I want to learn as much as I can, that just because it's interesting. But
right.
like some will say, like, you need to speak up in meetings, you need to like show your voice or whatever. But it's like, but for me, mm-hmm. no one's ever said that to me like at work, but
right.
to me, like, I want to take in as much as I can and learn as much as I can.
Yeah.
And, like, putting myself into a different situation to try and grow that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I think I am way – I absorb more if I'm just sitting actively listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that in classes and in meetings, like, people have a ton of questions – I'm not even thinking about the questions because mm-hmm. I just was absorbing the information.
Yeah.
And then I kind of hear people's questions and I'm like, oh, that is a good question. Like, mm-hmm. I want to know the answer to that. But I myself don't have any questions.
Right.
Like, and if I do, it's usually answered by someone else. Mm-hmm. I just am not, like, I'm still processing everything that was just thrown at me.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you and I are kind of both in creative careers mm-hmm. that, like, in certain meetings, I'm not saying anything. I'm not shooting out things just to say stuff because, like, wheels are turning mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I write this social media post? How can I design this? You know what I mean?
Right.
That it's okay to not, to be humble. Yeah. I wanted to say that in the beginning of the episode of, like,
yeah,
being humble. You know, who's the head coach to the Bills? I should know this.
Sean McDermott.
If you ever listen to his, like, motivational speeches, I guess, after, like, a yeah. game, he's always, like, humble and hungry.
Yes. And that's literally needs to be your motto, mm-hmm. especially for your 20s. Mm-hmm. Humble and hungry. Being humble, if you aren't, life is going to find a way to humble Facts. You.
Oh, I said it once. That's, like, the book. Everything will be okay. She goes into saying how when you're, like, starting out, you need to be humble and you need mm-hmm. to listen.
Yeah.
Listening is key.
Sit down. Understand when mm-hmm. there's a place for your, like, your voice deserves to be heard. Mm-hmm. But I think you just need to really realize when you're listening, if you're listening yeah. to provide ears or provide a response, because mm-hmm. if it's a response, you're not actually listening to what's being said.
Right.
I think that's what comes with being an adult. Know those people you can go to that are going to actually listen to you.
Yeah. They care to hear what you have to say. They're not yeah. like all in themselves.
Yeah. You gotta, because you gotta have that outlet. You yeah. gotta have those people you can go to like that. Like, I know I need advice that, like, might be necessarily hard to hear, I could always go to my dad. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what and, like, I have friends that can too, but my parents are the perfect example of the different types of people, because I can vent to my mom and she will, like, listen and kind of mm-hmm. like be in my corner. But I can vent to my dad and he'll be like, I hear what you're saying, Alyssa. This is kind of what yeah. I feel like you should do. And I know I'm going to get, it might not be what I want to hear, but it's mm-hmm. what I need to hear.
It's like moms almost need to kind of be on your side. You know what I
Nurturing.
Mean?
Nurturing.
Like, yeah. And, like, agree with what you're saying and everything like that. But sometimes you do need that tough love. Like, mm-hmm. no, like, you're wrong in this situation. Like, or you need to handle it this way type yeah. of deal.
And usually if I'm facing any sort of, like, big problem, I go to both of them because mm-hmm. I want to hear both sides. Like, then I'll have a good gathering of how to handle the situation.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, in your life, you're going to come across people who are very self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes maybe you can't nix them out of your life. Maybe they're a family member, whatever. So I guess just, like, limit yourself with them. Limit your conversations.
Yeah.
Keep them kind of at, like, an arm's length, you know?
Yeah, like, know what other ways you could interact with that person. Yeah. So you might not be able to go to them for life advice and stuff, but you could grab coffee and just talk mm-hmm. about the mundane things that aren't
yeah.
really big and phasing. Just really, like, it's easy to tell. Like, it's something that comes naturally as you're figuring it out. You'll know what you can talk to that person about mm-hmm. and what you can't. I do suggest if it gets to a toxic level of them not really hearing what you have to yeah. say about anything, like you said, like, just limit your interactions with mm-hmm. them if you can't cut them out completely. But just know where you're, like, putting your time and energy into. Yeah.
Because, like, in a sense, if they're, like, trying to one-up you in every situation, they could be, like, not saying this happens every time, but
right.
they could be jealous of you mm-hmm. and, like, they could be putting negative energy towards you. And maybe you do need to cut that person out because they're not serving you any purpose. And they're just bringing that negative juju over, and you gotta like say, is it sage that you like light and
That like you like cleanse atmospheres with?
Yeah, cleanse that.
Yeah, you're like, man, I need to like light a whole sage stick right next to you.
Oh gosh.
Another thing that I wanted to touch on though, that which goes hand in hand with like finding out kind of who you can go to. Mm-hmm. I think a big thing adulting has shown me is age does not equal wisdom. I have met a lot of people that think that just because they're 54, 78, that they are the wisest people mm-hmm. on the planet. And they are self-absorbed in thinking that, because you can be old and not wise. You can be older and you can be young and stupid. You can be mm-hmm. old and stupid. Like, I think a lot of times people think like, I've had so many years on this earth, I know way more. But it's like, you need to take a step back if you have that mentality, because you have just as much to learn from me as I have to learn from you.
Because if they're older in age and think they're more wise, but they don't know, they may have a better say on certain things, mm-hmm. but like, they don't know the world today, or like how we grew up, our generation. They don't know
exactly
like social media or anything like that. Like, they have a lot they could learn from you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's twofold. So mm-hmm. I feel like I really ran into a lot of people that are like, I'm 78 and I demand respect, you know, like that just type of aura. And it's like, I'm all for respecting your elders, but like, give me, like, I'm not going to just give you respect. And I don't necessarily think that you're really wise. Like, if you can show me that you're like Gandhi, like how you're talking about yourself, mm-hmm. then okay. But you need to sit back and listen to me, just like I'll listen to you. Yeah. Like, I have a lot to offer and bring to the table just as much as you do. Mm-hmm. But I do think one valuable thing I learned about from growing older and just interacting with talking with like my grandparents and stuff is over time, I feel like when you first become an adult, you start making money. You're like, there's so many things I could do with this money. I could buy this, this, and this. Like, I have that adult cash. I have adult time. I can do whatever I want. But it becomes less about what you have and what you're mm-hmm. buying, and more about what you're investing in. That mm-hmm. goes for finances. That goes for time. That goes for relationships. Mm-hmm. If you like actually take a step back and stop looking about, or stop thinking about being so grabby with mm-hmm. everything, and start thinking long term and what you can contribute in all of those situations financially, if you start investing, it's gonna most likely pay off. If you do like real estate and mm-hmm. all of that, you're setting yourself up.
Yeah.
Relationships, you're investing the time and love and care. That's gonna only nurture your life and theirs. Mm-hmm. So I think you just got to be able to know.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to beat myself up about it, but like, I wish I'd been saving money for like a down payment on a house or something like that, because the way that the like market is going, mm-hmm. it's like, I am not benefiting from renting an apartment and spending $1,300 on mm-hmm. rent every month, that it's like,
and that's it's all just, money that's out the window.
It's literally like 13. That's a little high. I don't pay that much. But $1,300, let's say, every month just going to, I mean, granted, you're living somewhere, but like going to like nothing that's going to benefit you in the out.
Right. Like, if it's a house, you're only mm-hmm. Building equity. And like, if it's an investment, like if you buy a house and you decide you need a bigger house, that can become an investment property. Mm-hmm. Investing in the stock market, investing mm-hmm. in like virtual currencies, like all of those things, like you kind of learn it after that those become more valuable. If you don't understand the basic concepts of investing your time, relationships, money, you become stagnant in exactly where you are. Like, if you don't learn to invest your money, mm-hmm. you're always just going to be living with the income that you have.
Yeah.
You have no type of, passive income forming to add on top of that.
If you don't know how to invest in what everything you just said, like,
yeah,
keep learning. Like, listen exactly. to TED Talks. Listen to podcasts. I freaking love TED Talks.
I know.
And, like, just keep expanding your mind and expanding your knowledge about mm-hmm. certain things.
Yeah, I think as soon as we graduate, we kind of get like the mentality, like, I never have to learn another thing again. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you don't actually have to ever sit in a class again unless you choose to. But you need to be actively seeking information and
yeah.
learning something as time goes on. You can't mm-hmm. just stop learning.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's reading like a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Or a magazine every day or whatever. So along those lines of like learning and work and everything like that, you need to set yourself up for success and like being successful. And that's not necessarily with money or anything. That's like your confidence, your right. listening level, your punctuation, like everything like that all goes yeah. into
punctuality.
What did I say? Punctuation.
But yeah, like it's whatever success looks like to you.
Yeah. And that's running the dishwasher every night, you know, little things like that.
Sticking to a routine and getting up and going to the gym.
Like, and making sure your punctuation is on check, you know.
No question marks where there needs to be serious.
I really got to work on that with like my emails.
I'm terrible with grammar. I need to get better with it. Yeah, it's just tricky. Like, adulthood is, again, a lot of trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know a lot of it until you're in it. Like, you're yeah. thick in it. But just be in confident. In the thick of it. Yeah. Into the thick of it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to go for.
Ugh. Just be confident.
Mm-hmm. Confidence is key.
Yeah.
And, like, setting those routines
mm-hmm.
is going to boost your confidence, like, every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're already not – like, you've already accomplished this that makes you happy, and you're going to have, like, a glow or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you don't do it, it's going to, like, knock your confidence level down because, like, you've already kind of failed at this
right.
for the day. But, like – let's say, like, you want to get into working out, but you're nervous and you're afraid of, like, the gym and you don't know what to do. Like, put on, like, my thing is, like, putting on, like, a cute workout outfit
mm-hmm.
already, one, boosts my confidence. So when
right.
I walk into the gym, I'm confident with what I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, fake it till you make it. Like, nobody's judging you.
Right. Everyone was at your same point
mm-hmm.
one time. So... you just gotta,
mm-hmm.
You're not gonna, like, you're only gonna benefit from being in those situations mm-hmm. that you don't feel confident in and trying to work up the confidence.
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you what, in the gym in the morning, I am one of, like, three girls in a gym full of men.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not scared. I'm confident. I walk up in there because I'm lifting heavier than some of these men. And you just gotta, like, build that up, build up that confidence. I was never... like that. Like, I was always nervous to, like, go to the mm-hmm. gym, and because I wasn't, like, a stick skinny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I got some muscles, you know, I could pump some iron.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that even goes with, like, with work. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you find yourself, like, you're not the most confident person in your work or, like, at your job, like,
mm-hmm.
you can find things to, like, really keep learning about and, like, build up the knowledge behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes time to speak on that topic or whatever it is the heck that you're doing, like, that natural confidence will step in because you've put in the work to become confident in that thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's why listening is key when you're not confident
mm-hmm.
in, like, a work setting, that listening, because when it's your time, people are going to be like, oh,
yeah,
like she knows her stuff.
Yeah. Like you, I have always heard from one of my friends about my dad. It's like my dad and Brandon, like they're very quiet, but you know, and like Tom, like, you know, when they open their mouth, they have something good to say, mm-hmm. or they have something powerful and meaningful to say.
Yeah. They have like a good presence, you know, like their presence is always there, but they're very humble and quiet.
Yeah. A kind of our last like feel good tip is go to Target.
To sum up the whole episode, just bring your ass to Target.
But that alone can be such a like, mm-hmm. even if you're not going in to buy anything and you leave without buying anything, which I'm shocked if you leave Target without a single purchase. I've done it, but it's shocking. But that alone can be a good way to handle your stress and yeah. just like get out. And you kind of can build your confidence that way too, because you could be buying shoes. You could be buying workout stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you could be really branching out in a Target trip. But
yeah, this
adulting.
Is
adulting.
This is adulting summed up into maybe an hour. We'll see how long what Tom edits out.
Yeah, he'll probably make a sound
way better.
Way better. But yeah, I don't think none of us know what we're doing, like we've said before. That's mm-hmm. the biggest spoof of adulthood. No one knows what the heck they're doing, so just figure yourself out and embrace it. Every little situation you're in, good or bad, has something to show you mm-hmm. or for you to learn from. So take
your 20s, yeah, your 20s are about figuring it out. You don't have to be making all this money and mm-mm. doing all this stuff. Like your 20s should be to like figure out what you want to do with your life, what kind of person you want to be, how yeah. to gain your confidence, and how to become you, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then later down the road, like, you'll become more financially stable. You'll be able mm-hmm. to go on these trips. You'll be able to do this, that, and the other thing. But just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah. I would say, like, we're, like, both at the very beginning stages of all of these tips mm-hmm. that we just gave you. These are just what we've learned. So.
Yeah. I'm literally working on every single one of these tips to this day.
Same. Like, I don't think it, I think you just learn more about yourself and become more mm-hmm. confident in the whole grand scheme of things, but they should be ongoing things you work on.
And these tips don't have to be for people in their 20s. Mom, if you're listening, take yes. note on some of these tips.
Mom, Dad, be spontaneous.
Oh, was that on the list?
Go out and do stuff. But yeah, they're for anyone who finds it applicable. Mm-hmm. It's not just your 20s. I mean, that's the beauty of life. You learn the entire time you're here. So
until you're in your...
Until you're in the ground.
Yeah, well...
So the next episode is... Dun, dun, dun.
What are we even going to talk about in that episode? I got to look at our notes.
I don't know. So maybe we'll just say the next episode topic is pending, because we might throw a wrench in the plans.
Yeah, we're going to keep on your toes.
So, yeah, stay tuned and make sure you listen next week, because the topic is TBD.
And follow our Instagram. Let us know what you want to hear. Like, comment, follow, subscribe, and tag us. And,
yes.
Which... I've seen some frequent listeners tagging us every week, which we appreciate.
I know. Yes. It's very heartwarming to see yeah. that our advice is helping people, mm-hmm. making people feel good. That's literally all this is about, is just to be mm-hmm. something that makes you feel like you're talking to mm-hmm. two of your best friends. So,
and send it to anybody that you think would benefit from this or just wants a little giggle. I had some friends say that she sent it to her friends up in Boston, I think. Oh. So, like, I think that's really cool that people are
sending
spreading
it
around. Yeah. And we can also see the yeah. demographic of, like, is it demographic?
It's, like, just the cities. And I think we were in 50 cities.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Last week. And that is pretty nuts, mm-hmm. saying this is our fifth episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Let us know where you're listening from.
And message us if you have any topic ideas.
Yeah.
We want to store those.
Yeah.
For later.
We had about 10 episodes kind of planned out. Mm-hmm. I think after that, we'll start maybe incorporating some guests.
Yes.
On the show.
So if you want to be a guest, if you have a topic you want to teach us about.
Yeah. We love to learn.
Yes. So message us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we will get it organized. Tom just figured out a really cool way that'll be very easy for all parties.
Oh, so that's awesome.
We will be good.
Cool.
And see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.